You are listening to the strongest podcast in CrossFit. This is the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. All right, guys, I want to tell you a little bit about Type 1 Lifting. So Type 1 Lifting is a clothing brand that proceeds of the shirts, the hats, and everything else go to the Children's Diabetes Foundation. This whole t-shirt company started from me taking care of a five-year-old girl from the emergency department at the Children's Hospital I worked at in Atlanta for a while back. I thought I needed to do a little bit more than kind of just talk about my story. So this is how I started the clothing line, because I wanted to show people that even though diabetics have this really bad disease, we can still do amazing things in our life, and diabetes won't stop, you know, stop us reaching our goals. So go check out type1lifting.com. And, you know, if you have any questions, you can always reach me out on Instagram. It's type1lifting, and hope you guys enjoy the show. Hey guys, we have a new sponsor for the Type 1 Lifting podcast. The company's called Liberté Lifestyle. So Liberté is a French word meaning freedom, and the company was founded on the desire to have freedom to choose what we want to do with our lives. I actually had the owner, Nicole, on my podcast on episode 28, so if you want to go back and listen to her, she talks about how she started the company and what she wants to do in the future with the company, which is pretty cool. So they actually have knee sleeves, wrist wraps, shirts, shorts. Love the knee sleeves. I have the ice cream knee sleeves, and I love them so much. They haven't, the neoprene's still good. The seams haven't split compared to other knee sleeves that I've had in the past, and I'm planning to keep these for a very, very long time. So Nicole actually gave me a promo code for you guys too. So it's all capital letters, T-Y-P-E, and the number one. So it's type one. So go to libertelifestyle.com, check out what they have in the store, use the promo code type one, and save some coin. Now let's go to the episode. All right, guys, welcome to a new episode of the Type 1 Lifting Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. The Touch and Go gang is back. On the top, you got Xander Falick. On the bottom, you got Vic Rodriguez. And on the other bottom, you got Hannah Hardy. What's going on, guys? How's everything going?
It's going great.
Yeah.
So happy to be alive.
Well, that's good. Me too. So Xander, how was your, what have you been up to since like the past month? We haven't talked really.
Oh, we've talked, just not recorded.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I know. I have celebrated Easter, called my parents. They didn't call me back, so I had to call them today. So that was successful. I bought a bow, so I'm getting into archery.
Nice.
So that's pretty fun. Outside of that, just running a lot. I got a race next weekend, so just getting ready for that.
So what kind of race is it?
It's a High Rocks out in L.A.
Okay. All right, because I know the one in Austin. What was it, Austin? The last one you did?
Fort Worth. It sucked.
Oh, Fort Worth. Yeah, you didn't do so hot. So
no, did not. So we're moving on and trying again. So I'm excited.
So so if you don't mind me asking, like, what happened?
I mentally had a complete fuck up. Just the entire thing would probably be the greatest, quickest summation of the entire thing. I was like, so I'll be better in Anaheim next weekend, and I am excited to go race.
All right. So are you going to be there like a couple of days before just to kind of get the time zone?
So I'm
going to
go stay with the old Stay Beefy Nick O'Sully. so I'm going to be sleeping on his couch and going to the beach and eating at tide pools and training at Chalk or another gym if we need to shoot content for his new program that he's working on with our buddy Jeremy for Performance Driven Life. So it's pretty cool. But I'm excited to see Nick for a couple of days. So I'm taking 5 days. 3 days of vacation days from work, so I'm excited to be out in Cali for a couple days.
Nice. I've only been to Cali once, so I've been to San Francisco and Travis Air Force Base, which is like even more north of California. So
just
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, it was like 10-11 years ago, so it was okay, I guess. It was like really touristy, obviously, so but I was good.
Yeah, no, Newport Beach is the place to be. It's always those weird like random parts of like California that are way cooler than like, oh, I went to San Francisco, like I rode a trolley up and down a hill. It's like you didn't recreate the scene from The Rock when they're doing the racing through the Humvees and the Ferrari down the middle of the streets, which is a really, really weird movie reference that I'm using right now. So enjoy that if you need to watch it on Netflix tonight for anybody listening.
All right, so Vic, how was your, what's going on with you, what's new with you?
Oh man, I mean, got to meet some of my coworkers from my actual job a couple weeks ago. So that was actually really cool. We all met up in Boston.
Had you met them
And
before?
I'd only met some of them before, but I had met only a few of them, as opposed to like our companies had a lot of like new people join on. So I've talked to a lot of them through like our communications and through Zooms.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Did you try to handshake anyone because you hadn't met them in real life and it was an awkward experience because you had actually interacted with them so much?
Honestly, we a lot of us went in for the handshake right off the bat, like, hey, good to actually meet you, and like no one actually like was like, oh, I already know you, so I don't need to handshake you. No, everyone, that was actually pretty common, so
Good.
that was good.
I had an opposite experience, so.
It's
I
funny,
went
we
in for the
all
handshake and they were like, "Why are we shaking hands?" I'm like, "We have literally never met." And they're like, "Oh no." Like
oh.
we had interacted so much that they had
Yeah,
forgotten. So, I'm glad you
that's
didn't have
so
that
funny.
experience.
We all just joke like, "Oh my God, you're not a simulation. Like you exist from below
This is
here."
not Ex Machina. Yes, good. Good.
Yeah, so I got to meet them, which is awesome. We got to go out, hang out a little bit with the entire group. Other than that, Easter was fun, and off season. Quarterfinals and whatnot came and went, and now we're just back on to getting better for what
Okay.
it's worth.
All right. Hannah, what have you been up to?
Nothing much. I feel like I'm just like finally getting settled into the job, and of course, quarterfinals came and went pretty well for us. We got sixth in the North America East region.
Nice.
NBD, just no big deal.
So that was quite nice. We also our best finish was a strength event, and we're not a strong team. So that was also pretty cool. So all in all, like I can't complain. George is doing great. She's currently pregnant with some puppies. So
Congrats.
there's her little nose. She's gonna probably join the podcast. And
We're literally watching her. She is on the podcast.
yeah, she is on the podcast. But other than that, Easter was cool. Just I actually got to explore Atlanta a little bit, so I'm not stuck in my little like 3 mile radius of Alpharetta. I need to actually make it up to see Tom because he's only
Yes.
a town up.
Yep.
We should actually probably do this podcast together and then the guys can actually stream in.
Yeah, and then they can come up
Yep.
here and we can go for a swim in the lake or whatever.
I would love that.
Yeah.
It sounds like summer camp.
Yeah,
Yes, I would love
we can
that.
make it summer camp. I got a whole setup down here in the basement for training.
Speaking of
So,
which, Misfit Athletics summer
yes.
camp in June. March or June 23rd to 25th.
Yes, March.
Yes.
March. Yeah, it's like March, like
It's in
not
March. Yeah,
March.
it's totally in March.
Yeah, it's no snow in March either.
Yeah,
Yes.
hopefully. Hopefully. But okay, so what happened to me this month? So I got sick right at Easter, like right at like 6 o'clock. I just started getting like nauseous, started getting the chills, and like it was just a mess. And so went to the room, like had to like started having like sweats and like getting cold and stuff. And so I was pretty much useless all day today, and having trouble swallowing here and there. But my son and I actually re-released a new podcast.
Yes.
Okay.
So we did it a while back when we lived in our old house, but this one, it's called Curiosity the Kid. And what we do is we kind of talk about, what happened to him like during the week or whatnot. And then we talk about football because he's obsessed with football. And then he has like a listener question saying like, okay, how many teams has Geno Smith been on? And so we find the answer, and then we kind of go over it. And he's been on five, by the way.
Okay, I
So
was literally doing it. I was like, okay, Jets, Seahawks, easy.
Giants.
Giants.
And then there was one more.
The
No,
Browns.
no, no, no. Dang it. It was Giants,
Was it
Jets.
the Broncos?
No, Seahawks. And gosh, I'm having a brain fart. Anyway, he's been on five.
Okay.
So, and then like the and so we've been doing it weekly. Obviously, we didn't do it this week because of Easter and everything like that, but he's obsessed with it. He's like, "When are we doing the podcast? When are we doing the podcast?" And he's actually on YouTube too. So that podcast is on YouTube. So he's like, "Dad, how many subscribers do we have?"
He's obsessed with that too. And I'm like, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. And so my wife told a bunch of her friends that, hey, can you subscribe to my son's channel? And so now he's got 5 subscribers and he's like head over heels about it. He's like, yes, this is amazing.
He's making it.
Yeah. So slowly but surely. And I told him, I'm like, Ben, it takes time to get to where you like where some of these guys are at that you're watching on YouTube. So
just don't look at Rogan. Rogan, he's probably not even old enough to watch Rogan, but
no, not at all.
It's so. What is he trying to chase Bluey or
no, he's a little too old for that.
Shoot. What's the Power Rangers, that's what he's chasing. Got it.
True. Yeah. And now he's into sports cards too. So there's like a sports card store down the street from our house. And so he's like,
do you follow the, what is it? Mark Wahlberg's kids Instagram account?
No,
you got to find him. Cause he does something. It's like Mark Wahlberg's son. And then some other famous celebrity, like they go to the same school and it's like they're friends. It makes sense. But it's like, they do card opening stuff.
Okay.
Oh, is that Bill Simmons' kid that does that or something like that?
Maybe.
Bill Simmons does.
I'm not into the card. Like, I only know it from watching the Wall Street thing on HBO Max. That's the only reason I know this.
So yeah, so he's obsessed with cards and stuff. And we got like, I hooked him up with like for Easter. Well, actually, I'm sorry. The Easter Bunny gave him some cards, and so. And he's like, I want a Kyle Trask like signed autograph card. And so luckily this card dealer had it. And I was like, okay, I'll take that. And, you know, and a couple other things. And he wants to start trading like his old Pokemon cards for stuff too. So, and I'm like, all right, let's go, buddy. Keep it going.
All right. Everything comes full circle. Beanie Babies are next.
Yep, of course. Yeah, they're coming back. But yeah, he's obsessed with football. Like that's all he talks about and nothing else. He's like, Dad, when did this player play? And I'm like, I don't know. And like, what year did he play? And I'm like, I don't know. Did he, and like, how many years has he been in the NFL? And I'm like, I don't know. And he knows like every single season almost to like their record, especially with the Patriots and stuff like that. Cause we're big fans of Patriots. So
that's but weird. Are you from Massachusetts?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Crazy.
Yeah. And he's just obsessed with it's crazy. Like he'll just like say, you know, like I said before, like the scores of like certain football games and stuff. And we got Madden on the Wii. And so he's like playing with that old school.
Wait, your son still has a Wii? Like, what is this? He's using Madden 12? Like, who's a quarterback in that league?
13.
Like, it's
13.
All the Mannings, the Bradys, or Brady. Is Russell Wilson even in the league?
I don't think so.
Yes, no, Russell Wilson is in the league in 2012.
13. Really? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, yeah. So he's playing on the Wii because we don't have him on the Xbox.
Who's the Jets PSP. Quarterback in 2013? Oh, it's the Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Was You're it right.
Still
it
the
is.
Sanchez. The butt fumble year. I think that fumble. Is the butt fumble year.
They actually do it in the game too.
Sick.
No, I'm kidding.
Let's recreate these WrestleMania moments.
Yes, exactly. From football. But yeah, so that's been pretty much like just if it's just family and like soccer and all that crap. So. And hopefully getting more podcasts in. But, well, we have the two people below us did quarterfinals, and the two people above did not do quarterfinals. So kind of want to get what you guys, and even like Xander's thoughts on the programming of quarterfinals, like how do you think they went and all that stuff. So, Hannah, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about team quarterfinals. I'll let Vic talk about individual. But I mean, I thought it was really good. There was a very similar movement patterns throughout all the workouts. I mean, I think like even in comparison to, I thought individual was actually a really well-rounded test. I think it could have been a tad bit heavier. Granted, I know like the 185 bar like could slow people down, but I think it could have been a touch heavier, but I loved all the skills. I think there was a really good blend of barbell to skill work to just overall conditioning for that. For us, I mean, it just like felt like I was in a front rack the entire weekend, whether it was a clean and jerk or a front squat or shoulder overhead
or thruster.
Literally every single event. And we had like something like that. And then, you know, we didn't have like that, I mean, we didn't have anything high skill, like gymnastics wise, like we had 10 bar muscle ups, 2 sets of 10 bar muscle ups. We're doing rope climbs in sets of 2, basically like back and forth between Jordan and me, handstand walking, and like just 25 foot increments. And you had enough rest to, you know, be able to just kick up immediately. So I'm really excited how this is going to set up semifinals, because I think this could actually be like, okay, I understand that we need like simpler movements for a team, just because you have to, you know, be synced up, and there's a lot of more nuance to it, at least for video review. So maybe it was good that it was simpler. That way, when we get the semifinals, we can actually test those skills and teamwork at the same time.
Now, how did you guys do the workouts? Like, did you do them like straight through, like one through five?
Also, or
like,
looking at the events, if anybody needs a tip or help.
All right. So we did not do them in order. So we did test two first. That was 3 minutes on, 3 minutes off. The male-male pair does a 400-meter row at the same time on two rowers, into 10 synchro shoulder overhead at 185, and then max rep rope climb in remaining time. And then as the guys rested, the girls would go in that second 3 minute interval. Each pair does that three times. The girls' weight for the shoulder overhead was 125. So we did that first just because it was going to be harder to just deal with the classes going on and things like that. So we just wanted to get that out of the way. That way we weren't, you know, in the way of CrossFit United by any means. Mm. So got that done. That was an interesting workout for us. Our plan kind of fell apart and I was freaking out. So that's kind of how we started the weekend or the week, since it was Wednesday through Friday. But then Thursday morning we did test one, and that was AMRAP 15, 10 synchro front squats, 185 for the guys, 125 for the girls, all four of us synchro, but only the top of the rep was synchronized, not the bottom, which is weird, but valid for video review. And then 75 feet handstand walking each. It was like the you always had one male, one female go at the same time. Then the third workout we did was 3A and 3B, which the 3A was a relay, started with 10 bar muscle ups, 20 deadlifts, 275 for guys, 185 for girls, 30 GHDs, and then the 20 deadlifts, and then 10 bar muscle ups. So it went female, male, female, male, and then immediately into a 5 minute AMRAP of max clean and jerk set, 275, 185, which that got spicy. And it was so much fun. And I think by minute two, I was catching them like Josh Bridges back in the day in 2016. So that was so much fun though. And then we did test four, which is the last one, which was AMRAP, I believe seven. One male-female pair goes, and then the other goes of one shuttle run, two synchro dumbbell thrusters, 50s and 35s, two shuttle runs, four thrusters, and so on. So all in all, we only changed like one order. And then, you know, after Friday morning, we were done.
Nice, nice. So how did you guys like set up the, how did you guys set up the cameras and stuff? Because obviously with the 75 foot, like, you know, handstand walk and all that stuff, like, and I know in that area where you guys typically train, it's like a kind of pretty thin. So how did you guys do the camera positioning?
So luckily we did it at a time where we did it like right as the, classes would end or right before they began. So we had also like the CrossFit United section as well. Mm. So, I mean, we just shot it straight. We couldn't really get like a corner by any means. I think most of the time they want us to be like at somewhat of an angle, but we just shot it straight on. That way it's like they could easily see like, I mean, this, like a squat death angle and things like that. But at least we had room. And then, man, they are so thorough at TTT. It's like insane. They also, like, if you ever thought it was really hard to measure a rope, this is what Training Think Tank does. They have a 15-foot pole that they taped a tape measure to, and they show the pole, and then they put it up next to the rope, and they're like, you saw that the pole was 15 feet, and you see that the tape line is at the end of the pole. And I was like, that is the most genius thing mm-hmm. on the planet.
Oh, that would have saved me so much.
So, tip to, you know, all of our listeners out there. Anyway.
Meanwhile, Victor built a 15-foot pyramid of plyometric boxes and dude, stood up every single time like it was Tetris.
You have no idea. I got back from my all-staff meeting to go help my team just judge them. and no one was able to, like, hey, can someone climb the rope so we can, you know, sketchily grab the tape, hold it with our teeth, get up there and like put it up there. What's worse, I was running off like an hour of sleep and I had some Air Maxes on that I did not want to mess up. So I had to go up there with my socks on and I was literally on that rope for like a minute and a half, just holding on for dear life. It was the slowest, most painful thing.
That's awful.
It was pretty bad. All right, pretty bad.
So now you know, for any other qualifier or next year, that you just get a 15-foot pole and you're okay.
How about 39 and a half? I got one during Christmas every year. Do we just
a Festivus pole?
Essentially. Yeah, he's like, yeah. I'm excited for him to air some grievances in a little bit.
But they do a really good job there. They're very professional. It's definitely a sight to see. I wish like they actually had like the, I don't know. I think like the behind the scenes stuff is really cool to see. So, I mean, plus it helps out other people too. So I know how hard it was for me to, you know, set up my equipment in gyms in the past. I mean, Vic just told his story. So I think
I have a feeling that's most people's like experience though. Mm-hmm. Like we've all seen it. It's like, that's probably one of the best, and I'm assuming it's just PVC pipe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like it's very cheap from Home Depot. And like, again, they're like, again, TTT relative to most gyms has more athletes that are coming through there to do some kind of qualifier with that. Right. But it honestly is probably the most, like probably 15 feet of PVC pipes, max $30.
I would even say less than that.
Yeah. Like,
you
and
probably
I'm being
don't
like,
even need. Probably don't even need the full 15. You could just do 8 or 9 and have someone who's like,
pause. I was really just like, I was like, are you really? We're doing this.
All right. That's your sound clip. That's your sound clip. There's your insulin moment.
Yep.
Other than that, it was really cool to also have another team go at the same time. I think it's just like, I mean, that's just fun. In the individuals, it's easy to get everybody together, but when you have a second team going and you're trying to strategize like all together, it's, you know, you're not a team of four, you're a team of eight. And then when you count, you know, everybody at TTT that was helping out, I mean, we're way more than that. So, all in all, we got both teams in semifinals and Orlando is going to be super fun.
So how's the team gelling right now? Because I know there's three new people. Actually, you know, I guess the three other people have been pretty familiar with Training Think Tank, but you just came in. So how is the team gelling?
The team is good. So, I mean, I knew Mike before. I mean, he was with TTT. I've seen Jordan, like, rise through CrossFit because, you know, she was in North Carolina when I was in Virginia when I first started CrossFit. Mm-hmm. So, like, all in all, like, that's been really fun. Plus, Jordan and I get to see each other, you know, most days anyway here. I think the only, just, like, getting to know him was Tanner. And, you know, like, I love him because he's, like, he has, like, a really strong work ethic. I'm really proud that he has that because I wouldn't want to be on a team without, you know, someone that is, like, that isn't dedicated. So he's probably like the most dedicated on the team. And it's really cool to see it. Like, I don't know. And he's the class clown of the team. So he always makes us laugh and smile, and he plays Morgan Wallen. So I'm pretty happy at the gym where everybody else maybe isn't as happy.
Is that country music?
Yes.
Yes, Tom.
I don't know. I don't listen to country.
How
so.
Do you not know who Morgan Wallen is?
I don't listen to country.
Because this guy probably listens to 90s hip hop, listened to like
Tribe Called Quest.
Big Pun. Okay. Also.
He has recordings from 94.5 of the Ramiro and Pebbles regular cassette tape still.
Yeah.
No, I just don't listen to country. Anyway, so.
He probably uses a Zune player from Microsoft.
I do, actually. No, I don't. I really don't.
Oh man.
So Vic, how was your quarterfinals and what did you think about it?
Individual quarterfinals was fun. It was a learning experience. I mean, my type of fun is different. We ended up doing, so the team that I was working with this year, 1977, who also punched their ticket to semifinals, is going to be kind of cool to see them. We all, a few of us decided to do individual just to, you know, for ha-has. And we did workout number one first. I did not do that well the first go around. So in the morning, the next morning following up, and workout number one was the front squat at 225. It was the 9, 15, 21. So it was 9 front squats, 9 handstand walks unbroken. And then it was 15 front squats at 185. And then 15 ring muscle ups and 21 at 135 and 21 wall facing handstand pushups with a cap of like 15 minutes or something of that nature. So that I thought was just a really smooth workout, like a really well-written workout, just because it just, your shoulders are just all sorts of fatigue from every angle. And not only that, but it's also the front rack from the front squats. Like the front squats are a little bit of a throw, like kind of a throwaway with the weight being like 225, 185, 135. I was like, you probably could have bumped that up. You probably could have made those front squats a little bit more of a barrier. You don't have to go full 275. You could have gone 255 and then 205 and 155 just to make it so that no one can blast through it. Well, I mean, some could. But yeah, either way, did that one twice. But I did one, then I did two in the morning with the crossover, single unders, and snatch. It was a dumbbell snatch and walking lunges. That was actually the sneakiest workout in terms of losing time. Because if you don't hit those crossovers unbroken, your entire score is ruined. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how fast you snatch that dumbbell. It doesn't matter how fast you lunge. You can't make up time on not going unbroken for the single under crossovers. It just doesn't. It doesn't make any. It doesn't. You might as well just stop the workout and redo it. and we actually found that to be true, where someone else redid it. The next, like a couple after me, before the deadline, and they were like, "Yeah, when I hit my crossovers unbroken, it was a completely different workout, and I got way farther and way deeper." So yeah. Then
how long did it take you to get the crossovers down?
Oh, I whipped myself for a good 30 to 45 minutes the night before. And then I whipped myself a little bit more till I had some marks and I felt good about it that morning. And then I realized that I just ruined my speed rope because I have stainless steel, and like now it's all like crinkled up. Yikes. I was still able to do them with that cable. It's not a big deal.
But do you use an RX Smart Gear or do you use the
I have a Rogue SR2. RPM. No, Rogue SR2. Okay. Yeah. It's, and then, you know, honestly, I was like, you know what? Had I gotten a little bit more time with like a beaded rope that's a little bit longer, or just any rope that's a little bit longer, it probably would have been just fine. But at the end of the day, like, I just feel like there's certain implements that, like, okay, cool, if this is fair game, now I need to make sure, like, it was, oh, I got to have a drag rope, I've got to have a Zeus rope, I got to have this rope, I got to have, now I got to add a beaded rope. It's like, I feel like CrossFit is, and RXSG are just like, hey, how do we make these people spend more money? Oh, I know, we need a special rope for every single workout. Great, great, great. Okay, so how do we bundle that? And then CrossFit gives RXSG exactly what they need, and RXSG goes on and says, hey, we have a sale on all these ropes that could show up in semifinals or whatever, and they end up selling a boatload of ropes. nothing against them. I love RXSG. They're good. They're good people.
So you went 1, 2, you hit 1 again.
Yep. And then I hit 3 that night.
Okay.
Which honestly, it felt the best to do 3 workouts in one day as opposed to doing 1 or 2.
Yes.
And I surprised myself on that one because 275 for a jerk is kind of my max because I'm pretty awful at overhead stuff. and I got into the round of four or something.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah. 275 is my quoted max. So
did you go really fast on your burpees, or were you just steady and just like?
No, those were a throwaway. The burpees are a throwaway.
They really are.
If you made that weight 255,
everyone would have finished.
Not even that. No, I think if you would have baited someone to make the weight just a little bit lighter, you probably would have seen people go just a bit harder on those burpees. Because the people who had the record breaking times or whatever for those were already super strong, and they just basically quick singles, 3 seconds each one, good to go, and then their burpees were you could make up the burpee time anywhere. But that might have been the one thing that I thought would have been cool, which was to have seen if they had dropped the weight a little bit lower, see how much tighter the gap would have been. But then I also agree that you do need to have something heavy like 275 or maybe even a little bit more, so that when it comes semifinals, these guys are tried and tested, so that you know that this isn't going to be one of those. I think they don't want to repeat something in CrossFit Games history from way, way long ago where they put a barbell out there and no one can touch it. And you just have people flailing and struggling to hit one rep. So this is it's a really good way to weed that out.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah.
And how'd you do your day? Okay. So did you do your workout starting Thursday night?
Thursday night, I did one.
Okay. So what'd you do Saturday? What was the rest of your workouts order?
Saturday was just four.
Oh, okay.
Saturday was just four. There's the thing is, when you're in the area that I'm in, it's you have to go to different gyms to do different workouts. Because again, this is the other problem, is having all the equipment in the right area in one gym. You have to have a really nice gym to have all of that readily available. So you end up having to piece things together, like, hey, who's got multiple GHDs that are actually quality? Who's got the rope with the 15-foot climb? Who's got the rig next to a certain rope or an area that's actually solid? Who's got the floor that's actually flat so you can handstand walk without feeling like you're going to like hit a divot or something? All those variables come into play, and then trying to find the right camera angle, trying to make sure that your phone has enough storage, trying to make sure the backup one has the storage. You're just trying to do all these things, and it's as if like preparing for the workout is more taxing than the actual workout.
Do you use a GoPro, or like what kind of camera did you use?
My iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah. I use my
iPhone.
If you
understand how to use do not disturb in airplane mode, you'll...
Yeah, exactly. I went on Wadproof, put it on there. But I've had that bite me in the ass before.
Yeah.
I've had Wadproof crash on me. I've had other timers crash on me doing the airplane mode and whatnot. So you have to set up the backup as well.
Yeah.
Or you just realize that it didn't work, or your judge says, hey, your camera stopped, and you just say, okay, we gotta quit the workout and we gotta reset and go again. it's part of the game.
So what'd you think of the V-ups?
I was just going to ask him that. Damn it.
Yeah. So,
hey man, this is a 4-person podcast. Let us
I know,
all talk.
I know.
The V-ups, I have two thoughts about this. One, I thought it was great that they added them in, because it's a very simple movement. But two, the standards they put on that were absolute dog shit. And I look at the feeling that you get is the same feeling you get in an affiliate class when a coach gives the class the workout, and you say, okay, I'm going to pride myself in holding up the standards, and you do it. And then you go back and you if you're new to CrossFit, this is kind of what used to happen to me, is like, okay, I'm going to make sure I move properly, I do all this stuff right. And then you see someone else post a score, when you're brand new, and you're like, wow, I got three rounds, or I got this many. And then this one person puts up like seven rounds, and you're like, I saw them. They were doing shit for reps. they were bending their arms. They weren't doing this. And I was like, and then I started looking, I didn't spend too much time. I started looking at everyone doing V-ups and I was like, okay, so they're touching their heels and their feet are coming up separately. They're spreading wide. They're barely touching the ground. Like, I'm like, wait, so could I have gone faster? Had I been able to just, instead of trying to do exactly what the model said, which is have your hands actually touch the ends of your toes, or what was the purpose, you know? That was the gripe. I do like that they put it in there. It just needed to be better standardized, and they needed to make it more clear, as to what it is, because then it just became a how fast can you fold yourself in half? No matter what happens with your hands or your feet in the process. And that to me, I was like, okay, well, if that was the case, why don't you just do why don't you just do burpee broad jumps for distance? Doesn't matter how you get there, just get there.
Which is fair. And I'll have more follow up when we come back to me. And then I guess you did that Saturday. And then how'd you feel going into Sunday then?
Was cooked.
Okay, that's what I figured. I was like, you did four and then you did five. Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah. Poor
and
guy.
Not for the reasons that you think. My core was fine. I was just mentally zapped.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I kind of felt the same way last year where like Sunday, I feel like in the future, I never want to have to do a workout on a Sunday alone as your finale. Because God, that is the absolute worst. You're getting ready you're warming up to go do the workout, and you're like, okay, this is the last one. All right, cool. Here we go. Let's get going. And you're just like, why am I doing this? Like,
you know what fixes that?
What?
Training on a Sunday.
What a savage. The guy's just being honest, just trying to like put his feels out there.
You know who does that?
Me?
Me. And it just I was still zapped. I was just like, all right. It is what it is. It was a fun workout. I liked the deadlifts and the mixture of gymnastics. I never realized how much grip is used on chest to bar and muscle ups and then your deadlifts, so that when you get to the rope climbs, you don't feel it. You don't feel it until rep seven, eight, and nine of the rope climbs. You're literally, pardon me, your shit's numb. It is numb. And you're like, am I pulling or am I holding? And you have to actually literally look at your hand. Like Ace Ventura looks at his legs to see if there's an air, like an actual spear in it.
Yeah.
You're like, ah, is my hand holding on to something or am I just, is it, I can't feel it. So you're looking at it. You're visually looking at your hand to make sure you're grabbing the rope. That's what it was.
Well, that's why Misfit actually programmed the farmer's walks, the heavy kettlebell farmer's walks during the accessory work.
Did those today. My forearms are still on fire.
Yep.
That was fun. Yeah, we did those. It was supposed to be dumbbells farmers carries, but I have a janky 75-pound one, so I just use the kettlebells. And
kettlebells are easier.
Kettlebells are easier. I understand that people say that.
Not hurting you at all, because I do it all the time, because that's what they use in Hyrox, but I use the dumbbells for training. But,
I would love to. No, I just have I have a bent the dumbbell that I have.
We saw it on your Instagram story.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, it's janky. It's janky. It is bent and it rolls away from you. Yeah, still effective. Yeah. So that was quarterfinals. I thought overall the test was great. Great for the semifinals, but also it's inconclusive to really give a full judgment, because I honestly feel like we're such a knee-jerk, community that we don't take a look at, well, what's coming up next? Like, what is this setting us up for? What are we preparing for to see in the semifinals and in the CrossFit Games? And we have to judge that as a whole. Whereas, you know, you could say, oh, the Open, oh, that was dumb. They should have done this. They shouldn't have done that. And arguably, the shuttle, we talked about that. And then we look at individual quarterfinals. I'm like, oh, well, this was kind of silly. We shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have done this. I'm like, well, we don't know what the next step, or the next iteration is into semifinals or into the games. And were these tests adequate to make sure that they were ready for the tests for semifinals and for the tests of the CrossFit Games? And then the real question is, are we looking to, are we, is CrossFit looking at the test as a whole already and saying, how do we make sure that we have the best people that are suited to complete the workouts we've already planned? Or are we, are we trying to decide what the fittest is? I don't know, like, and some of that inner, like, kind of, you know, overlaps, but it almost feels like they're trying to select for the workouts they have. Like, okay, someone is going to really excel or do their best or be the strongest for these workouts and going to give us the spectacle that we want if they can do well on these earlier tests. Does that sound crazy? I feel like that's kind of where we're at right now.
No, it's like, and it's hard to judge because, like, the thing is, it's like people are trying to, everyone's trying to blow up. It's like, I guess we're going to go to me who didn't do quarterfinals. I did qualify.
You're next. Yeah.
So I've crowdsourced and talked to some of my friends in the space. The crossovers were a good test. The V-ups were just a dumpster fire. I think everyone can agree the V-ups should have just
not been there.
Yep.
The workout one, you could have kept them, had them do 50 up front, and then you never did them again. Was probably like one idea, but there wasn't really. And the problem is, we're also trying to judge Bosman, and really, he's only had, this is his first actual year.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I will hand up and attest, I would say a lot of last year's programming up until the games was probably already pre-done by Dave. Nobody knows that for a fact. Nobody could tell me it's a fact, but I will just raise my hand and just say this is his first year. So I'm giving him the out. But again, we saw in the Open, the one rep max thruster was an issue because of
people moving their knees. Reps. Yeah.
Fine. It's a heavy one rep max thruster, whatever. Then it's the shuttle run walk, shuttle walking, and you can get a good score. Crowdsourcing from individual and team athletes, there wasn't really any tests that really made people have to do anything out there that really was like, you can full on send taste pennies, really reach. And I think to Victor's point, what you were trying to say is like, they're not testing the fittest on earth because that's the games. They're trying to get the most well-rounded athletes as much as they can. Because you got to reduce the population from, okay, you have 100% participation in the Open. You're going to take the top 10%. Then we got to whittle that down to probably the 0.05% is probably how many athletes get the semis and teams. The crossovers was good if you could do them. And that's just a learned inherent skill effect probably, which I did like. And the wall facing handstand pushups was good. It was just like one of those things that you're just like, really, you guys didn't see that one coming? Really? Like, it was probably the only thing. But when it came down to testing strength on the team side, there was a lot of people that Hannah probably saw on the leaderboard. People kind of just sandbagged the first part and then just knocked out. And so the scoring kind of went wonky on that test three.
No, I mean, at least with that workout, that one was like very nuanced because it really, everyone was recovered except for the last person in the relay. So it was really like, all right, hopefully you have strong girls because they need to get the bulk of your reps. Like Jordan and I almost got 30 reps on our own versus like Mike couldn't really like go do a clean and jerk until like, I don't know, the 90-second mark. So it was just, and even then, like I heard people on teams where the second guy went so hard, he couldn't do a single clean and jerk. So it's like, it had those nuances. And I really did like that. I also like the strength under fatigue, both like in the team setting and an individual. I mean, I'm always a proponent of not just having a one or max strength just thrown in there. So I like, that's why I like quarterfinals a little bit more this year. But I mean, like, all in all, I think it's, we got the well-rounded test we needed. And, you know, like, I think, I mean, Boz, just like Dave, is trying to create a story. So it's just kind of being like, all right, what's the next generation? Is, like,
they're breaking out trapeze at semifinals.
Yeah. Like, all right, we have to go swing and hopefully we, you know, reach and make it to the other side and not die. Something like, you know, something, you know, like that.
I wanted to also note that you said something that was really cool. It was talking about the strength under fatigue and being able to do the clean and jerks was something that we actually talked about on our last pod about the thruster, thinking, hey, why don't we do 5 minutes of max thrusters at a heavier weight? And lo and behold, maybe this was why they didn't do that, because they were saving it for team quarterfinals to do this. Hey, this is the test that we wanted later on in the stage that would more adequately test it with our set weights. So I don't know. I think it's kind of cool. You know, some of the things that we were asking for during the open, we did get in quarterfinals.
I would say they did a better job testing the strength in the open when they got to the snatching workout than they did. But it's like kind of like you're like, if they reduced the weight from 275 to 155, I think that was like really the breakoff point, and they knew that they could do it that way. Because there was a lot of women like who made quarterfinals that struggled at 185, and then 275, like the, like, and that's the hard part when you're delineating. It's like you look at, because you compare, we all compare semifinals based on games athletes, and there's a difference between the bubble athlete going to semis and then like your Lucas, your Chandlers, your Colton Mertens. It's like they're gonna just, they don't have a problem at 275. The quarterfinals is make sure you're like, videos work, and you know how to, like, and you don't have an Annika Greer, like yeah. That's essentially what you're more worried about. But,
and plus I think that 275, when they added on there, it kind of makes the people that just got into quarters and are not really the fittest to say, hey, you need to work on a lot more stuff to get to where you want to go. And obviously, like, you know, Maybe some people that got into quarterfinals couldn't even clean a jerk 275, like not even close, not even close. And so yeah,
that was a big
eye opener for a lot of people, I can imagine.
That was a big gripe too. A lot of people were complaining about that, and a lot of people made their content about it.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was
like
my
those thing. People were probably the people who were like flying through the deadlifts and like workout five, right? Like they're like, that's the thing. It's like everything comes back to baseline, where like you have to be so well-rounded to keep moving on.
Mm-hmm. I hear like, when I think about this, I think of like the people who griped about 225 and the snatch during the open.
It's like, bro, you weren't even getting through 185. Like those are those yeah, people. Like yeah, those yeah, are yeah. Those are the people I'm talking to. I'm like, oh, it's 225. It's like, dude, you barely did a strict handstand push-up. Like what? Like you're like, we gotta like put those building blocks in of like, because a lot of people yeah. were like, because it was funny because we predicted it and we like weren't really close to guessing it. Like Victor was closest, but like the 3 minutes and just continuing on, but it was just like funny because like you could just see people just got to 135 and then just got steamrolled getting to the wall.
Yeah, and I think it's just something funny to hear all the complaints about, oh, well, I paid money and I wanted a test and I wanted this. No, you didn't. You didn't want a test.
You just wanted to beat your friends and you needed
pride. Yeah, exactly. You wanted a medal. You wanted to run your race and you wanted it to look good on the board. And when you got a workout that completely stopped you, you're like, well, I just wasted my money. I'm like, no, you wasted your time this whole year focusing on shit you needed to focus on.
Because
and
you're
you
like,
ignored
oh, I can
it.
Power clean 135 and do 20 ring muscle ups. And I can do like shuttle walks and burpee pull ups. Like, and I'm not strong.
Yeah.
It's like, you probably didn't thruster all that much either, buddy. So please kick rocks and carry on.
Yeah. I love the people that do races. And then once they get their like little like fake medal that they walk around town with it after, like, at, like, yeah, like hours after. You're just like,
oh, you ran the 5K for Michael Scott's for Tots, like 5K. It's like, bro, just quit it.
Like, yeah, it's like, come on. It.
It's like,
hey, that guy's an inspiration.
He ate so much fettuccine Alfredo and milk that day of, he's carbo loading hard. Okay. Success. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to kind of the programming, since, like, we did kind of say it's almost like a story from, you know, the open to quarters to semi. So, I kind of want to get what your guys' thoughts are, and, like, what's the programming going to be like for semifinals? I know we had a bunch of other lists and stuff like that we're going to do. We can kind of do that later. It's getting a little late, and I think Hannah's got to leave in a little bit. I think
she's got to take care of her pregnant dog.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we can stay on, but,
what is Hannah thinking she's going to be doing at semis?
What am I going to do? Worm. Well, I mean, I hope, who knows, like, at this point, like, who knows? I feel like the worm is being phased out, unfortunately. Like,
really?
Sad. Well, I don't think it's going to be phased out at semifinals. I think the worm, you have to be good at the worm at semifinals, and then the games, like, you just have to, if you have access to something like Big Bob, man, you're going to do really great. But really, they don't test your worm skills at the games anymore. So
outside of, what was it, the last year in Carson when they did landworm, earthworm, or earthworm, water?
They did worm stuff in the finale, I thought. Wasn't the worm in the finale?
I just don't think the worm ish. Like, Hannah, are you saying the worm is no longer an issue because enough people at the highest level have practiced with it?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, oh, okay, okay.
Like, so many gyms have worms now. You know it's going to show up. Whereas, like, all right, Mayhem has Big Bob. That's
shocker.
It.
Shocker.
What else they don't have?
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, someone built that for them, so yeah. Rogue didn't. So you just need a handyman to put something.
I'm 100% Richard Froning Jr. the second, 100% texted Bill, like, hey, can I get the schematics for this? And he's like, I mean, sure, here you go.
Probably, but, you know, like, Rogue didn't send it to them. Anyway.
Well, it's also, yeah, so agreed.
But, I mean, at semifinals, I was like, again, like, team-wise, I hope more skills are announced. I think it would be really cool to bring, like, the handstand obstacle course back. I think it would be cool if pegboards came down from the games to semifinals, because I actually think pegboards are easier than, like, a legless rope climb. I think they're easier to judge than a legless rope climb. So, like, I think that would be really cool. That would be, like, a cool, like, new thing, but not so new thing. Other than that, individuals, man, I have absolutely no clue. So it'll be cool to see just, like, what tests do come out. I think it's going to be some sort of, you know, hip flexor strength and endurance thing that's, you know, maybe not the L-sit rope climb that's going to come out at the games, but something along those lines. Like, that'd
what
be
do you think the strength is that they're going to test at the game, like, for the teams, not the individuals, but for the teams? Do you think
I think it would be weird to have another snatch ladder. But unfortunately, like, just because, like, that's the movement pattern we didn't test. I mean, it'd be cool if we had a, like, overhead squat. It'd be cool.
Or a snatch complex.
Yeah, like a snatch, ooh, complex, hang snatch type thing. You just roll out, you know, the handstand walk, or the hang snatch handstand walk for the teams. That'd be fun.
This is not a shot at the teams, but there are a lot of teams that qualified that, like, you know, the teams that are like, I checkmarked the box to go to semis, and there's people that are going to compete for going to the games. Not saying that, like, you're on a team that's competing to go to the games. There's going to be some washed individuals that cannot do an obstacle course and or a heavy snatch, or probably both.
I mean, I know, but, you know, they've tested that in the past for teams, and yeah, you know, people couldn't get, you know, it's like, we, you know, that was thrown in regionals in 2018. We've had 5 years to improve on it. You can throw it in teams again, or just set up some pylons to make us just, like, zigzag like a dog agility course.
Where are the traffic cones? Where is my safety sergeant leading my line?
Like, let's do that. We can do pirouettes. We did that, the random handstand hold last year. You can throw this at teams. Like, we can adapt just as well as the individuals. So, like, I think it'd be fun to get some of that thrown our way.
You know what would be kind of fun to see? I know it sounds a little bit boring, but if you're doing a team event, I'd love to see like a handstand walk race where you have to move a piece a little bit further out while other members are doing some sort of a static hold, so that whenever they tag someone back in, that they have to reach that point in order to get to the next one. I don't know. I feel like that would be a really cool event if you could. I don't know how to program that or what that would look like, but it'd be like maybe like dead hang and also upside down, like just handstand hold while another two teammates do unbroken segments to get further, you know, back and forth.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was just trying to like think it through in my head what you're like. So kind of like that weird ass rowing workout they did at the games last year, like where they were having to hold in a box.
Yeah.
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 Nobody could tell me how anything was scored on that workout, by the way. I watched it in person.
I don't even know the teams now at that point in time.
I was like, I was confused because I was like, do you keep scoring for meters if everyone's down? Because there was quite a few teammates that were not doing well. It was like
I don't know. That was just a cluster. You had to do a tandem row. You had to match. You're hopefully matching the person in front of you. You hope you're going at a fast pace. I think there was a lot in that workout.
Is it going to out it with the clean and jerks being done in quarterfinals? I don't see them doing a strength for clean and jerks. They probably do it'd be cool to see maybe, I don't know, front squats and save the snatch off or whatever for the games.
Or like a team one rep max overhead squat.
Yeah.
The amount of dislocated elbows.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think that would be really fun. Jordan and I said we wanted like a one rep max shoulder overhead at some point in our future, but I don't know. Like I hope it's not just a one rep max strength test. I hope something's involved. If it is the ladder again, I wouldn't be opposed. If it's, you know, we have to do something and then hit a heavy lift, that would be cool. I just, you know, like sometimes I'm just like, I don't think a one rep max really needs to be tested.
I mean, it's cool to see for the fans, but is it, yeah, like you said, I don't think it's really worth it for, you know, to the teams or even individuals to kind of fry their central nervous system just to get a one rep max. And then that can hinder like the rest of the weekend for them.
Yeah. Oh, you know how they did the pirouette walks or the pirouette.
Yeah,
the parapellum bars.
I'm a not a yeah. handstand walks, okay?
They called them the P-rods or something. They said P-rods or P-sticks, and I was like, come on, guys. That can't be the name. But I was imagining, I think something that would be really cool would be to see synchro ring muscle-ups, but at the end of the synchro ring muscle-ups, they then have to do strict ring dips in a synchro version as well, where teams have to jump
those
up and
standards
do that.
Would be egregious.
Oh man.
Lock out at the top.
Where do you hit the bottom? Yeah, that's the problem. It's like body, like, so it's, and then where's the top? Ooh. Victor, when you go home tonight, I don't know if you've ever seen this regionals event, but I will tell you, I think it's, was it 2016 dumbbell snatch?
2016 when they blew out their, when everyone
yes.
blew out their
go
pecs.
Go watch that event and how much of a dumpster fire judging that was.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay, I do remember that.
Yeah, my boy Chase Smith blew his pec out on that one.
Noah Olsen blew it out in training and still made the games that year, which was still wild.
Yeah. Crazy.
But that's like, that's the cool part is like, you think like the worst part is like coming up with a cool workout. And then there's me who just immediately is like the judging standard would be egregious. And you're like, shit. It's like,
I mean, I think
that's the problem. It's like, that's the problem with V ups and like doing ring dips anywhere. It's like, that's why the parallel walk, like where you had to do the parallel bars into the ring dip, I thought was easier because you knew what extension was.
Would they do something with like Wadapalooza did with the three teams? Obviously it's three teams, but like they'd have someone do like the bar muscle ups and the other person do ring muscle ups and the kind of, it's like almost like synchro.
Oh yeah. The synchro ring and bar muscle up or something.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to watch people get kicked in the face.
I actually think it's easier at like a semifinal because A, I mean, you're farther apart, but then like you also like typically you'd be like two people do bar muscle ups, one person does ring muscle ups.
Mm-hmm. And you guys gonna like switch it out to see whoever like, you know, whoever needs a break and like the last person goes to ring muscle ups and try to get his like hang on and just get as many as they can or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be cool. Like, I mean, an iteration like with ring muscle ups like that, just because, okay, we had like a similar thing with bar muscle ups in, you know, quarterfinals. It's all right. So like our last guy got fried and had to really, really push and hold on for bar muscle ups. Like, why don't we like have a similar thing with ring muscle ups? Why don't we test like this time? Okay. We have to test the females. Like it's like, that's how like the storyline can go.
Or they can get a barbell and just have a couple of people do ground to like shoulder overhead. And then they have two people on the side and carry it to another station. Then they do another ground to like shoulder to overhead, like the old grid stuff.
Oh my gosh. I don't need grid league back.
Don't bring grid league back.
I'm kidding. Yeah.
Let it lie in South Florida where nobody else pays attention to it until it's on the Instagram Reels feed. And I hit do not include this.
oh, dang.
Shit. Harsh takes that grid league looks good online.
Wow.
But like that's the hard part is like predicting. It's like they're gonna.
You could literally have a dartboard and like have all the movements on the dartboard like, and just throw a dart
like,
at it.
And then like the dart immediately goes to like this like piece of like chalk on the side, like, and it's a chalkboard and it's like we have double under crossovers coming into individuals. It's like you can't do synchro double under crossovers. That's not a thing. Like,
surprise, it's going to be synchro GHDs and toast to bar.
We have team double Dutch competitions. That's what we're coming to here.
Hopscotch,
that would
definitely.
Be so much fun.
I think RXSG just put in a new patent for an extra long rope.
Yes.
Exclusively. God. My God. Like, but that's where we're at. So I guess, like, do we want to do quick hits on everything else real quick?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, Xander, since you're the one that's running the show right now, so I might as well go for it.
All right. Sorry, Tom, what are your thoughts on Brendan Snyder being a new underdogs coach?
Man, I'm excited for him, to be honest with you. Like,
I had no idea this was a thing until I got the notes because he just updated his Instagram profile. I swear.
You didn't know.
So I found out by I was scrolling Instagram and all of a sudden I see him like talk about underdog athletics and I'm like, the hell? And I'm like, so I message him and I was like, so when did you leave, you know, DECA and the DECA comp to underdogs? Like, oh, I just started with them. And he's actually helping out, like writing all the programs for the individual athletes.
That's wild because I literally saw him at TFX at the end of January. And I was like, it seemed like everything was great. There's probably a lot more to it, but that would be a good guess for the future. Hannah, since we're also super good friends with Brendan, how do we feel about this?
Oh, I'm so happy for him. Even just like talking to him, there's so much growth for him at underdogs. I think he's like, I learned so much from Michelle when I was with DECA, that now he's just been given the opportunity to work with more high-level athletes, be more involved in the day-to-day programming at underdogs, and be in the talks about how they could push underdogs forward into the future, which I think like that's what he wants. And that's, you know, that's what you want as a coach, is just to be able to grow and just expand your repertoire more. So I am so happy for him.
Good. And then, Victor, totally change of pace. How do we feel about Ricky not being a part of the season anymore?
I'm just looking forward to see what he does next year. I mean, it's part of the game. People get hurt. Some, you know, it was a freak accident. What can you do? I mean, it sucks for him, but I think he's going to be just fine. He'll come back next year and see what he is and see what he can still do. And very Patriot style, next man up. You know, like, who else is like, there's other people, there's other top athletes out there that are going to be fighting just as hard to try to dethrone Justin. And, you know, you've got Roman there and you've got some other new names that have now finally qualified for the first time for semifinals that could make some noise. And you have some other people that have made some noise in the past, but are really primed to have a great year this year. I mean, look at Jack Farlow and take a look at, I mean, I think Fikowski's
is he
in much.
Or east?
He's west.
Okay.
Oh, is it east?
I think it's east.
Patrick Starr? Oh, Mr. Krebs, I thought you said west.
I think he's east. I can check that here. I'll backtrack for us.
Thank you. And the other thing is, anybody got any quick thoughts on who's going to backfill that place? Like, Ricky was more than likely going to qualify, right? Barring injury, like if he had gotten there, right?
Well, but it's just Oceania. So now it's a toss up. Who are the people there?
Is it who's Roy, the guy who follows Mayhem?
Oh my gosh. Royce Dunn.
Royce Dunn, yes.
Yeah.
He's team.
He's going team.
He's team. Yeah.
What? And so is Crouch. Yeah. Crouch, who was another close competitor to make it individually last year, or I think he did make it last year. There was Baden Brown.
Didn't he retire?
Baden Brown retired, I think.
I thought that was Steffi Cohen's ex-boyfriend, or is that a different Baden?
No, that's Hayden Bowe.
That's Hayden Bowe.
Oh, that's why I always get that mixed up.
Okay.
Okay. So
we on topic.
I'm really down an online rabbit hole here.
Yikes.
And then thoughts on Chandler doing quarterfinals with a broken hand?
I mean, that was savage. I mean, I mean, obviously he said on the Buttery Bros thing, he had no chance. He was thinking about like taking it off. And I think his sponsors were like, no, you gotta go for it.
Which is savage.
That's just what motherfuckers do sometimes, is you gotta do some G shit.
And he was doing some cleans, and he heard a snap. He heard like a little click in his wrist.
Yeah, the Buttery Bros video was wild.
Yeah, that was crazy. I hope it's healing up better. So he needs some of that deer antler. He needs some of that deer antler spray.
The Ray Lewis deer antler. Yes.
Oh yes. Jesus. How many people go to get a individual Oceania ticket to the game?
I thought it's three.
Three.
I thought it was three.
Three.
Yes. Okay. It's three.
You know what? Shit. I think James Newberry might make a comeback this year.
Oh, James! No, go back to triathleticism.
Bro, I think he might. I think he's actually he did
I wouldn't
really.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I bet you're looking at the leaderboard right now, because I'm not, and I bet you're like, oh, there's experience. Like, that's the weird.
No, I'm just. I should look at the leaderboard. Actually, now that you mentioned the great idea.
Yeah. Actually,
let me look at the quarterfinals.
What did Hannah Hardy say?
Georgia decided to step into the screen. She's gonna come back. Jack Farlow's in the East.
Okay.
But, I mean, to be honest, there's some up and comers in Oceania, so it's gonna be really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Kearney, I don't think I've really ever heard that name too often, but he finished behind Ricky and Jay, but Jay and Rick, I mean, Ricky's out, but Jay was going team.
We'll see. We will see when everything like officially shores up for the predictions, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah. So sorry, Tom. Back to your podcast.
All good. Thank you. We actually have an official fact checker now, Hannah Hardy. So
hello. Yes. I try my dang hardest.
Yes. Appreciate it. So let's do final thoughts. So Hannah, we'll go for you first.
All right. Well, I mean, with me, I'm so excited for semifinals. It's going to be here before we know it. I, like I said, like I'm really excited for the team, and I really hope that the, that Boz really throws skill at us to finally test us there. You know, like the coolest part about CrossFit is just like seeing how it progresses and seeing how just like the athletes adapt and overcome. And I think until like the open quarterfinals and semifinals, we can either like get, it was like, we know like what's probably going to come at us, but then it's like at that point, it's like, all right, did you do your homework and do it? And that's what I love through this part of the season. And then the games, it's like, all right, like, let's see if you like can actually do like things that you like haven't done like ever in your life. So it's gonna be cool seeing how Boz continues his story in his first complete year of programming.
All right, awesome. Vic, what do you got?
Final thoughts. I am excited, and I think if there's something that we're going to see. I've been doing a lot of research. I'm thinking there's going to be some version or variation of Roaming Diane. And I would not be surprised if we used a different type of wall ball or wall balls in some of these upcoming workouts, either at the semifinals or the games.
Like 40 pounders like, or 30?
Like D balls or like the ones that he has in his garage, instead of like the actual like rogue like wall ball. He might
using
use like
a 20-pound D ball?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's super easy.
I don't know. Maybe
I'm sorry. Like I've used them before, and they're actually better.
They're nice, right?
They're actually better.
So maybe there's something like that where they go to a different standard for that, and it might be a little bit easier to go to a higher target.
No.
15 feet. Let's go.
Yeah.
We're gonna do 10 feet, 75-pound thruster throws.
Or imagine if they start doing the strongman. Over the keg over the
yeah. I could just see bad things coming out of that. Bad things.
I would like to see some. I think there's going to be some cool surprises coming up, and I think he's just been waiting to kind of get the reins. Speaking of reins, maybe that could be something that gets used. In some of these, and maybe in the games for some of the team events as well.
Battle ropes, max reps.
I want a double dutch to come out.
Straight up, though.
I'm ready.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, I got some travel coming up. Excited to also get down to Misfit Summer Camp. Because I absolutely love going down to Maine, going up to Maine, not
yeah,
down.
Yeah, I was like, going down? You mean traveling north?
Yes. Traveling north to Maine during the nicer time of the year.
You mean the snow, the literally blizzard that we survived was way too cool.
Buddy, no, I live in I'm, this. I'm okay, good. You're in Tornado Town. But yeah, definitely excited for that. And we'll see. Maybe I'll be at the games this year. Maybe I won't. I think I might still go. I'm not sure.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I just want to make sure it lines up with my schedule. That's all. And I'm also thinking about Orlando as well, but I don't know if I'm going to go there either.
He might not go because of insulin.
Yeah.
All right, Xander.
Pancreas. Just yell pancreas.
Yeah, pancreas. Yeah. So Xander, what do you got?
I'm ketoacidosis. Oh gosh.
Never had that. So
Pythagorean theorem. Now we're just throwing out terms. It's like Encyclopedia Britannica. I'm excited. Yeah. Business synergies. I'm super excited for Misfit Summer Camp, June 23rd to the 25th. And so excited to spend some extra time since one of my good buddies Ryan's moving up there too in the next couple weeks. But more excited about just seeing semis and like going back to that old regionals vibe of everybody's got the same workouts and see how people adjust week to week and kind of the difference between, okay, so what do we see the East athletes do versus the West versus, cause I think it's East West and then there's one more weekend or is it just two weekends this year? That's the only thing.
I think it's three.
Three. Thank you. Fact checked. And so I really want you to be right.
I don't know. I should know it, right? I'm doing the thing.
Your fact check. George is really not letting you fact check anything.
No.
But yeah, that's really like it. And super excited just to start training for a marathon and start trying to do more different fitness and honestly just enjoying archery right now. So that's pretty fun.
Why did you start archery, if you don't mind me asking?
I realized I needed something to just mentally to try to like do something else that wasn't reading a book or like watching YouTube videos or something like that. So it gets me outside, practice 50, 60 shots a day, like on my lunch, like when I'm working from home. And then like in between, like over the weekend, like I would like do strength session, Metcon. And then I was like, okay, let me go shoot. And then went back to working out. Like it's still outdoors. It's fun. just it's very much more mental than it is a physical thing. So
I have a question to follow up on that there. Before you shoot this bow, do you ever whisper the words "you have failed this city" and then try?
I don't think Oliver Queen would allow me to do that. And I believe if I went like through Father Queen, like what, like, cause season one, what is it? He kills everybody. Season two, he doesn't kill anybody. It's all just great Arrowverse kind of things. And the guy who plays the Flash in the Arrowverse is 3,000 times better than Ezra Miller. So,
Definitely. Yeah. So
real inside baseball nerd comic book stuff there.
All right. Well, I have my final thoughts. I'm a little disappointed in somebody in this chat. So Vic, why did you go on someone else's podcast, man?
Oh, I've been,
not all,
what do you
not
mean?
All black, not all black and white.
I've done that before.
Oh, you
I've
have
done that twice. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
I went on with Hayes and Kenya. Kenya's a good friend of mine.
Yeah. Do you know, this is like the main one you're supposed to be on all the time and that's it. Like you can't go to any other ones.
You're getting Savant so hard right now.
Yeah, you know you're under a contract.
Yes, you're under contract.
Get free shirts again.
Yes, no free shirts, no more. No, I'm just kidding. Well, it was cool to see, like, you know, obviously you doing another podcast, which was pretty cool. I didn't see the full episode.
It's long.
Yeah,
it's like two different podcasts.
Oh God, like it, like over under.
It's three, like about 3 hours. It's like 3 hours. It's like a Joe Rogan episode.
That's a very like.
That's aggressive.
Who spoke the most?
I think it was a good combination of all of us.
Okay.
And
yeah, there was four people in that whole chat. So
it was three, and then it was three at the beginning. One logged off, became three, stayed three, and then became four. yeah, it was all over the place. It got fun. It was very very random. We talked more about, we didn't really talk too much about CrossFit. We tried not to. Good.
Well, yeah, like I said, it's pretty cool seeing like other people in the chat, like on other podcasts. And yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, semifinals and see, you know, what the programs are before the semifinals come out, before the, you know, semifinals actually start. And then, yeah, kind of go from there. So thank you guys for joining the show. I appreciate it, and hope you guys have a great night. Peace.
See ya.
Bye.
All right.